As the pandemic drags on, doctors continue to be pulled away from their normal duties to care for COVID patients. It takes a huge emotional toll. And for early career physicians, it also means less time for specialized training. Farah Husri of Side Effects Public Media reports.
Much of life has returned to normal in Indianapolis, with major sporting events, social gatherings. But inside the hospitals here, it's the worst it's ever been. ICU beds at Indiana University Methodist Hospital, the largest in the state, were 100% full as of late January. New COVID cases topped even the highest peak of the pandemic, and the state ranks in the top 10 when it comes to COVID death rates.
When you walk out of the hospital doors, life is normal, which is a whole nother level of emotional difficulty for us.
That's Dr. Gabriel Boslett, a critical care physician at Indiana University Health. He hasn't had a weekend off for a month. The intensive care unit is completely slammed with mostly COVID cases. But he says the sheer amount of work is actually not the hardest part.
There's a lot of collective trauma being created right now around the fact that those of us in the hospital feel like there's a lot of great suffering that is being unacknowledged by the general public and by our elected leaders.
Boslett says it's especially hard for the young doctors he trains. He heads a fellowship program teaching early career doctors about lung illnesses and how to care for ICU patients.
The current generation of intensive care unit trainees will be some of the best trained in advanced, severe acute lung disease than we've ever had.
Yet, as waves of COVID patients gobble up most of their time, trainees are missing out on other crucial aspects of clinical practice. Here's third-year fellow Dr. Claire Prohaska.
You know, we're not really being trained to be pulmonary and critical care physicians. We're being trained to be COVID physicians.
And that's because there's just not enough time to do things like lung cancer screenings, provide outpatient care, or work on important research. But there's one thing they're getting a lot of experience in.
We've all become experts at telling people they're telling families their loved one is going to die. I guess during my first year, I would keep track of how many people passed away when I was helping take care of them. But I think at this point, I can't count.
Prohaska says patients are also more adversarial than ever before. And it's not that she expects people to thank her for doing her job every day, but it's shocking to her how politics are seeping into her day-to-day encounters.
I do get upset when they try arguing with me about vaccines or, you know, asking for ivermectin and, you know, when their person is maxed out on the ventilator and we're doing everything we possibly can, you know, like things like that insult me.
Not every doctor has been slammed with COVID cases this way, but other residents have also been pulled away from their specialties at times to help with the huge COVID caseload. Family medicine resident Dr. Miriam Okoye is one of them. Part of why she went into family medicine to begin with is the connections she can build with patients.
Being able to like have that established relationship with them from like birth all the way up till they're getting older, and kind of being super familiar with like the family dynamic and see how that works in your favor.
She graduates in a few months and she spent much of her three-year training program during the pandemic. That means most of her in-person patient experience switched to virtual. And those virtual visits did not count toward her required residency caseload.
If you know that essentially the work you're doing is not really counting towards your end goal, that can be a bit frustrating. But at the same time, it's like the patient still has to be seen.
And as hospitals across the country have had to cancel elective surgeries at different points of the pandemic, some surgeons in training aren't getting as much experience. Dr. Jennifer Choi is the director of the General Surgery Residency Program at Indiana University. She says junior residents are hit the hardest, and the full impact won't be seen for at least a few years. Right now, she's trying to make up for those disruptions.
So we do skills labs where we maybe use a cadaver to help teach a procedure, and we might end up using that model in a more expansive way to fill some gaps elsewhere.
But operating on a cadaver may not be like caring for a real patient with a beating heart whose family is waiting for them to come back home. For Here and Now, I'm Farah Yusri.